We are good.
All right. Today is March 28th. We're going to continue where we left off. We're in the Seal Book of Moses, chapter 14. And if I understood correctly, the discussion about 17 and 18 did not make the previous recording. So we're going to start there. Do I have a volunteer to read verse 17, page 114 and 18? Let's read both. And I'll start these verse two.
Okay.
I think I remember, we actually did have some comments last week, and I think I remember what they were. But if they didn't make the recording, I'm gonna repeat them. Behold, therefore, that I give beginning through you to erect my church among my people Israel, for thou art a seer, having all the gifts that are conferred upon the head of the church. Therefore, thou shalt be the voice of God unto my people. For from thine own mouth, I, the Lord, will speak to them. And I should give some background. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And one of the important things we brought out last week is the word, my church. He's giving beginning to Moses to erect a church among his people, Israel. And before I continue, are there any other comments someone has? So I just found it interesting. This is a beginning of a church. Jeannie, I see you that you'd have a comment.
I like the part where it says having all the gifts confirmed upon the head of the church. So Moses was given everything that he needed, all the keys, all the blessings, all the priesthoods, everything. And this might have been the first time exactly that this happened.
Right. So Moses is coming from Midian. In Midian, he's finding about, you know, Jethro, his father-in-law, and how they run the priesthood. He's going back now to begin a church among slaves. And that's kind of a hard transition. I'm told it was hard for the slaves to get their freedom. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to become a new church. It's hard to change. It's hard to start a new people, so to speak. You know, not all the slaves wanted their freedom when in America that was given. It was just a change. It's hard. So here, you know, Jethro's taught him some things from the Midianites and we read in the past how when he first got the priesthood, he didn't feel very different. And now he's given this huge task. Anyways, it's very interesting. Any other comments? Let's continue to 18. I'll read. And behold, I will give thee Aaron, thy brother, the one that I'm bringing for you with some of the elders of the house of Israel. And Aaron will be your spokesman. Therefore, he must be ordained a prophet before the elders of the house of Israel, for how much he will speak these words of mine that will flow out of your mouth when you come to Egypt. So do you suppose prophets need help, helpers, spokesmen, or anything like that? I mean, how would you feel if you were a prophet, right? And you had to, you had a huge task, or you had a task to say, hey, why don't you go back to the slaves? What I want you to do is make a nation and free them. I don't know. I think he was pretty happy to get any help he can get personally. And he needed it. That's the bottom line. It's not like he can just do anything. I mean, how hard would that be? I can't put myself in that position.
I think too, if you, if you put yourself in all the Israelites' position, there's a bunch of slaves that've been oppressed by all of the Egyptians, and here comes Moses, who's been, you know, living a pretty cush life, and now he's going to come back and lead the church. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in letting Aaron be the spokesperson, who must be in with elders of, you know, of the Israelites that are there, just to give some validity to what Moses is doing, rather than, oh great, here just comes another Egyptian with Israelite blood and now he's going to lead us.
Yeah, it reminds me of Alma and Amulek. When Alma first went to Ammonihah, they said, who is God that sends only one person? And then Amulek shows up, something like that. I think is what you're saying, to have a second person validates. And it's what the people need. I think the people are in need of a spokesman, in need of Aaron. Any other thoughts or comments? Russell, do you mind reading the next verse, 19?
What verse, 19?
Yeah.
And when my people Israel accept your call, then you will have a church to command beyond the Jordan, where I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I will make you commandments by which the people of the covenant will be governed, and all of them, I, the Lord, will baptize under cloud, that all may enter into the covenant that I am making with all the nations of Israel in their wholeness.
Okay, did anything stand out there?
Yeah, I have a comment. I like the idea that that the Lord is telling Moses this church is going to go beyond where he currently is standing. And it sounds like it's going to be worldwide. And also that he's saying, and in order to do this, I'm going to give you the commandments to follow. Like John, you said, it would be kind of scary to have someone tell you, this is what I want you to do. But the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And here are the things that you can use to do that. And if we turn the very first part of that sentence, when my people Israel accept your call, and change the word your to my, it's like he's saying it to everybody except my calling. And this is how I want all of you to listen and become Christ-like. And here's the tools that I'm giving you. And he's doing that with us now. It's like, we know the Lord knows everything. God is omnipotent. And in the beginning, now, and in the end, he is there telling us what we need to do so that we can be successful and return to live with him.
Well, let me ask you a question about that then. So suppose I have some commandments for you. How do you like that? Do you want commandments from me?
Well, I suppose if I was an Israelite, I would.
The answer is yes, of course you do.
Well, it would certainly.
Because here's what it says. Therefore, I'll make. Well, so it's a double-edged sword is what I was just trying to go for. Go ahead, Jeannie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Do you want commandments?
I want to know that there is the path to follow. So yes, the answer is yes. I also want to know that I can follow this path, that it's not so outrageous that I'm gonna not make it. And with our little earthly beings, we do fall, but the Lord's made provisions for that. We are all given a choice whether we want to follow this path or not. Moses was given a choice, Joseph, Mauricio. Individually, we are all given a choice. And John, you're right, we have to make a decision.
So I'm gonna read that phrase again. Now I'm thinking about a teenager. Therefore, I'll make you commandments by which the people of the covenant will be governed. Whenever I hear the word commandment, sometimes I think a fight just starts. And I think, oh, people don't like those. They don't want restraint. They don't want to be told anything. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one. But has that ever happened? Where you feel like, oh, great, a commandment. I'm going to go learn and develop and be a better man, be a better person. Anyway, I think that's the attitude we're supposed to have. And you're right, Jeannie. It's about choice, right? It's about attitude. It's about, you know, are we willing? Anyway, so what the Lord is saying is good news. Guess what? I get commandments and you need this. And it really is a happy thing. This is a joyous thing. You're going to get commandments. Okay. And the Lord will baptize under a cloud that all may enter into a covenant.
What
the bottom line
mean?
Is without a covenant,
what does it
no
mean
one gets
under
saved.
Cloud? Oops.
You know, I was thinking about the pillar of fire in the cloud that leads them through the day. Does that, but I don't know for sure. I was just thinking when the Lord led Moses, that's how he led him. He had a cloud And I think that might be that cloud. If there's someone else who has, I mean, there's a pillar of fire too, right? At night, that's how they're led. So I assume that's the same cloud, how they're being led. And then it's kind of like a sign, you know, it's like they need proof that they're being led. And that's what the next verse is going to talk about as well.
I just think to that first phrase, when my people Israel accept your call, is kind of you got a little work ahead of you. I mean, this isn't just, and that's how the churches have always been, by, you know, common consent, that you can't just go and be a dictator and say, God said we're going to do this, but he's got some persuading to do to get these people to accept him. And then he gets to do the whole church thing.
Do any of you see the similarity of what we're going through right now? Brother Mauricio doesn't speak English. You know, he needs a mouthpiece too. And I'm sure he would like some instructions about how to do all that. And it must be tough.
And I think he's also trying to lead us to the promised land, or to save us from the impending destruction, things like that. So he's trying to persuade us and get us to follow the commandments so we can be ready. Yeah, lots of similarities.
And dealing just like the Egyptians with their old traditions and precepts, and having to restore through fragmented in order to clear away the debris so that we can get back to the true church and the true doctrine. It's incredibly similar.
And that's going to happen over and over, right?
Yep.
Right? Even after the Israelites are converted, even after they, I mean, do they want to go back to Egypt? And the question comes up, why? Why would you want to do that? I mean, how does that even enter your head to, you want to go back? How did this happen? I don't know. But any other comments? Go ahead.
You're
on mute. You're muted. There you go.
Thank you. Yes. It says in verse 19, and when my people, Israel, accept your call, not and if, but it,
okay,
you know, there's like a promise in that.
Yeah, and it's the first, I think it's okay. The first time with the collective oneness that God has enough trust through Moses and the humbleness of the people in the desert, 400 years of slavery, that they accept another thing apart from kingship and tyrants, and that they, because it's not so long before the people want a king again after that. But this is first time they be governed through law, and then you can have a personal relationship with our omnipotent, loving Father. That's what I love about this. And also the stages of bigness of signs. And now we have small, God can make small things big. So, they say in the latter days, you cannot live on borrowed light. So that was a time that you could live on borrowed light. And I think this is the stages we see here, that time goes, that God can use things from the past and from the future. Like with Isaiah, is quoted in the Book of Mormon. It's preparatory for understanding the worth of these lines. What's happening now with the gathering, a new kind of, not physical, maybe before, that we have, can be one through new means of communications, new forms of fear, global, to let people think maybe. And it's all in here, that we will could be governed by eternal laws, and that everybody could speak with the voice of God.
That's what I wanted to mention in verse 18. There's something interesting going on there. So Aaron will be your spokesman. Therefore, he must be ordained a prophet. For how much he will speak these words of mine that flow out of your mouth. So, yeah, I find that interesting.
It is.
Yeah, so he can be ordained as a prophet, but he will speak the words, but it will flow out of Moses, his mouth, right? As I understand here.
I think there's a level of righteousness for Moses that's just super, super high. And yet he still needs help. And yet he still, and Aaron has a huge job too. They both do. But Moses seems to be on a plane that's just way above. And he needs help. At least that's my understanding.
Well, isn't there a scripture someplace that talks about that Moses is God to Aaron, that pointing out that relationship?
Okay.
That sounds familiar. I don't know where that would be.
No, it's also... Well,
Harm, could I have...
Yes?
Go ahead.
I think about the levels with the priesthood, that the people were not prepared for the higher priesthood. So he gives them a lower level to spread the outer appearances, that people could have a personal contact with their creator, but weren't ready for the whole responsibility to be able to connect the material with the spiritual. And that God now, and that's so revolutionary for the Jews now, I think, through us Gentiles to the Jews, to help them recognize the magnitude of the words here revealed, that Moses did have all this knowledge, that we speak with the words of Moses, which they will recognize through the Spirit, because it's the same voice. You can, when I first read the Moroni, the first words of the sealed book, you could feel, if you're used to the person, to the Spirit, everybody has a personal calling, then, and you can recognize what's the calling of this specific prophet in this time, and this person, this friend. What they say, you always need two friends in the church, you know? Is it gonna be you, you know? Can you look at your neighbor like a true brother, sister?
Like yourself.
Yeah.
Can I look at my neighbor like myself, or a sister, or can I? Anyway, and that takes training to me. It's hard work. I don't know about you.
It is.
So, Harm, could I have you read verse 20?
Sorry. Go ahead. I have a comment.
Sure.
We have to remember that at this time, the Lord is talking to Moses. He hasn't gone back yet. He's still with the Midianites, I think. He hasn't returned. So all this information he's getting, and then he's going to be told, okay, but I'm also going to give you Aaron to go help you. That had to be... Moses must have been excited. Oh, I'm not all alone. But also what Harm said, that brings the Israelites, they know Aaron, and they're more able to accept Moses coming back. I think maybe that's kind of what Harm was saying. I don't know. Maybe I didn't get it all right. But the other thing that I really loved what you said, Harm, you said there are stages of light, of borrowed light. And when we're young and we're learning line upon line, we use other people's testimony sometimes, their light, their knowledge of the church and the scriptures. But also this, when you said this, it reminded me of the virgins and their lamps. That is kind of, we borrowed everybody, but at the end, at the very end, we have to be able to stand on our own a relationship with God, and that we can't have borrowed light anymore.
Which is harm.
And harm, I think he said it very well.
Isn't it easier to rely on someone else, though? Like a crutch?
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm following the sheep. Anyway.
I did find that quote that I referred to. It's in Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see that I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet.
Yeah. It's in stages.
And Egypt is so interested in how many gods are there. Well, there's this one. Well, there's that one. And then there's the other one. There's tons of them. And I think that's why Moses wanted a name. He's like, if I'm going to go there, I need a name for you, because they're going to ask. Anyway, but that's a good point. Pharaoh needs that. All right, any other thoughts?
We have a lot of gods right now.
How about we continue then?
We have a lot of gods right now. People don't call them gods, but it's the beautiful house and how much money, and my car's better than your car.
And which medical authority are you supposed to follow?
Medical authorities?
How many masks?
Leaders in general? How many people? Who we trust, right? That can be called a god. In God we trust. No, that's a good point, Jeannie. Some people will argue with logic or science or something like that, and it's not what God said. So, any other thoughts?
Don't follow leaders. Watch their parking meters.
The popular? Say that again. What are the popular leaders? Or what's popular with leaders?
It's about all the talks with the politics. And I was remembering Bob Dylan with the don't follow leaders, watch the parking meters. But you get trapped in the pulling against duality or something. I don't know. The Lord, you can know through his source, as the source of everything, and the future, the fruits, and it's missing, and it's all here. So that's with the parking meter, sorry.
Taxes. Okay. All right, we'll have you read next harm, if that's okay, verse 20. I really like this verse in what I read ahead. And we can talk more about it.
You, therefore, have a great challenge to lead the people of Israel to live righteously according to my words after you leave Egypt. Then it came to pass that I, Moses, answered God, saying that the children of Israel would never believe in me, nor obey my voice and mock me, because I tell them that the Lord appeared to me, but they do not have much esteem for me.
Let's read the next verse too.
Then the Lord told me.
Someone that like for to read this... 21. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Then the Lord told me that for this reason, he was sending Aaron as my spokesman, for he is held in high esteem among the elders of the house of Israel and among all the people of Jacob. And for this reason, they will obey his voice.
Any thoughts come to mind?
Well,
we can stop there. Any thoughts come to mind right there? What do you think of when you read that? Is that hard to believe?
The sound of the voice, you know, the things people love when they know it. And that God uses that, you know, he knows that it's hard for them. But God tries to combine the things Moses was brought up with, and to bridge the gap between the cultures, I think, through Aaron, and the customs he was, and rituals. that the people could believe, you know, this strange prince. Yeah.
Yeah, is there anyone who is referred to more highly than Moses in modern day scriptures? When we look back at Moses, we look at him as one of the greatest of all time. So to me, it's just kind of strange that he knows. Moses says, if I go back there, I'm going to be treated really roughly, really badly. And that's why the Lord says, well, I've got Aaron. So you just keep going and don't give up. It's just hard for me to conceptualize Moses as being rejected by his people, for me, or to be mocked or to be esteemed lowly at any time. Anyways, any other thoughts?
I was just going to say, it was just interesting that he was afraid of the children of Israel not believing him. And it's like, those are the people that are supposed to believe, you know, they're the chosen people. And he's like, they're not going to believe me and they'll mock me. And I just thought that's kind of like, whoa, we got to make sure we're paying attention because we're the children of Israel. And we're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to believe and we're supposed to obey God. So I just thought that was interesting that he wasn't afraid of the Egyptians. He was afraid of the children of Israel.
Yeah, thank you for that. It is an excellent point. Any other thoughts? I go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, you think that this is how many generations that they've just been in slavery. I mean, right. First when I read it, it was like, they esteem Aaron, so they'll obey his voice. And I thought that was kind of, that's weird. I mean, they're just going to obey him just because they know who he is, but they won't listen to Moses. But then you think of the culture just 400 years, generation and generation of just being told what to do every single day, that doesn't break overnight. And so they kind of need someone, okay, yeah, I trust this guy, but I still need to be told what to do. And that's kind of what Aaron is going to fill that hole as they leave Egypt.
Kind of where we're
at. Do you know any other what?
The cultural differences, what Mauricio must be facing and the questions that he's going through and who is his helper. And then us individually, just think of ourselves as being that slave and now we're gonna follow somebody and eventually have to go through this Red Sea. And it says Moses is gonna be given a great challenge after they leave Egypt. So he's got to face this. Now he's got to still go forward. We have to face making our decision to follow the Lord now, but we're also being told something is coming that's going to be harder and we need to prepare for it.
Well stated, Jeannie. Thank you. Can I have a volunteer to read the next verse, 22?
I'll read it.
All right.
However, the Lord transmuted my adverse feelings, but righteous by the zeal of the Lord, into a snake that he commanded me that to do, throwing my rod to the ground. After that, my body was filled with leprosy, so that the Lord taught me that this is how the priesthood power of his son, it works in the men. And that according to my feelings, I can interact with the physical elements of the earth and with my own body, because all nature groans and also awaits the release of the sin to which Adam's heir was subjugated, because the earth itself and its elements were also cursed with the fall.
Did anything stand out to you?
Yeah, that's a fairly different story than what we have in the Bible as far as the leprosy and the rod. Interesting perspective there.
It says his body was filled with leprosy. I don't remember that in the Bible. I remember his hand.
I thought yeah, just his hand.
Yeah. And And it's important. Well, and he's, so you're right. That's interesting. I like how it said, the Lord transmuted my adverse feelings, but righteous by the zeal of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, are there sometimes adverse feelings that you and I have, but that sometimes are righteous? I'm just going to throw that. Is that real? Is that true?
Yes. So I picked up on that adverse feeling also. So Moses was inquisitive. He was asking. He was, how am I supposed to do this? He was scared. Maybe that's the adverse feeling. It's like, I don't think people will take me. I'm not good enough. I've been gone for so many years, blah, 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 blah. And that's the way I feel sometimes. Yeah, I can't do this. But I want to. I want you to help me. Give me the next step, so to speak. I think maybe Moses kind of felt that way. And so that was perfectly okay to feel that way. And so now the Lord is going to give him some help. And he does this by saying, you're going to go ahead and make a snake crawl on the ground. And this is what's going to happen. And I'm using these feelings inside of you to teach you. But what is he teaching? He's teaching us that, in this case, it says he used it to teach him how the priesthood power of his son works. And that is, if we're not strong enough, then our power is going to be small. But Moses needed to cross the Red Sea. The Lord knew this. He needed to open those waters. He needed to have the knowledge that he could use that power and make this happen. And all of us are going to have to have that. So it's interesting to me that he actually physically showed Moses how this works. And then he said, that the elements of the earth, Steve and I have been talking about the elements, and the elements are going to do what that priesthood power tells them to do. They have no choice. They have to.
To add to that, the creation, the material universe, is looking forward to the sons of God, because it's in the footnote in Romans 8, verse 19 to 22. It says in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
So nature's tired. It's also tired of sin.
Mm-hmm. It's also tied, and I find it very interesting about this new movement, this new church, about, we have time to talk about how we can do it in a better way. And we have Thank the you. Tools also through the sealed book.
Yeah. And this is also what it says about the faith of the brother of Jared. To my feelings can interact with the physical elements. So the fullness of the connection with the left and the right, the physical of the body, spiritual and material. It says here he had to grow in faith to be able later to be able to have the faith that God would divide to ask him. But we have to ask in faith, not wavering, like it says in Jacob 1:6, nothing wavering. Because if we wave, then it's not the big faith like it says in Jacob 4, when we can move mountains and are like Enoch with the moving the streams of the river. And it says so clearly here, interaction with physical elements. But we have to have faith.
that stood out to me too, that according to my feelings, I can interact with the physical elements of the earth with my own body.
It's so cool because like I'm studying now about how our thoughts affect our bodies and stuff. And it's all right here in the sealed book, like all this metaphysical new wave type thinking about how, you know, what's in your brain is what's really happening in your body. What's in your brain, it's what's happening around you, and quantum physics and all this stuff. It's so exciting because the sealed book is kind of talking about that too. One thing I also wanted to point out, I don't remember if I looked it up or if Bob Cackler looked it up, but transmuted means to change or alter in form, appearance, or nature, and especially to a higher form. So if you're transmuted, it's like being raised into a better form. So God helped him take his adverse feelings and raise them to do good. So I think, I don't know, just all about our feelings, you know, it's important. It's crazy to think about that.
Going off of that, someone recommended this book to me. I haven't read it yet, but the quick synopsis they gave of it was, it's a book about Abraham Lincoln and his presidency, but the book is called Lincoln's Melancholy. And it talks about his depression actually before he became president, I think. Don't quote me on that. But they said that he harnessed his depression to become a successful leader, especially during, you know, the Civil War, which is such a pivotal time in the United States. So that was what came to my mind reading this verse was, you know, a lot of people right now are struggling with depression and mental health, and how I think just from what I've seen on social media and the books that are coming out, there's so much information coming out about like the metaphysical world, like you're talking about, and how our thoughts really are so important and they create our reality. And so I think it takes a lot of bravery to let these emotions sit in and to, you know, look at truth. Looking at truth can be really hard and it can be really painful. And it takes courage to experience that pain, but that pain is what it's what helps us to spiral up instead of spiral down, and not to brush, you know, those things aside, if that makes any sense. Is, you know, if we feel the pain, we can then overcome and do what God asks us to do. And so I just thought that was interesting.
Thank you. It for sure is. I've wondered why God does that. He puts pain in our life as though it were to help us or strengthen us or support us. He does it over and over. And I think, now, wait a second. I didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
He loves us.
Because he wants us better than where we are right now. He wants us elevated, transmuted, if you will. Any other comments? How about we read one more verse and then it looks like a good stopping point. Jeannie, do you mind if I get you to read 23?
No, that's great. Okay. But behold, since the elements are arranged by the gifts, which are feelings derived from the name of God in me, they are grouped by the power of faith, which through command of the word of God, the worlds were created. And so all creation submits to the authority that is in the name of God and of his only begotten Son, through the order of his priesthood, for the sake of his own deliverance.
That kind of left me with some questions. What do you think about that? Is that interesting?
Very powerful.
Very.
Tells us how it works.
Yeah, it does.
And what are the gifts again?
We talked about this at the end of the last meeting. And I'm trying to think who said this. John or Russell said it, I'm thinking. About the attributes of the Savior. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Russell that said that. The attributes of the Savior, feelings that go within ourselves. But John, whoever it was that said it, was putting the attributes out. And one of them was the host, the Lord of Hosts, the army.
I think it was John. I didn't attend the last meeting.
Oh, okay. And I didn't get it all written down. So they were talking about that the feelings that are within us are also the attributes of Christ, of God, the love. But it's not only the love, it's the power. When we call upon the Lord, how are we calling him? Are we asking for help to fight an enemy? And that's the Lord of Hosts. Maybe we have to wait for John, or maybe you just all have to go back and listen to the end of the last one. But yeah, it had to do with the fact that the elements submit to the authority. So if we're calling upon God for that specific authority, then the elements are going to have to follow that. So if it's that we want the strength to rebuild a house from a tornado, that's there. If we want to fight the enemy, that we call on the Lord in the attribute that he's going to stand before us and protect us. And I don't know, I might not be saying any of this right, but sorry.
I'm going to call upon the power of the name. Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So gifts are powers and the elements obey. And like my wife was saying, it has something to do with faith, our minds. And if we really understood this, this is hard. I think it's hard. It just said, how did the Lord create the worlds? How did he do it? Well, let's just say, it says they are grouped by the power of faith. Now, I'm not saying I understand this, but I believe God used faith to create things.
This is the law of creation. You hear sometimes out there about the law of attraction. This is truth. This is the law of creation.
God uses it. Somehow, you know, something didn't exist before. God creates out of a mass something. Well, what does he do? He speaks words. Okay, well, what does that mean? Anyways, we're learning it. I think it's what we're doing right here now on the earth. We're trying to learn this thing, which is hard. We're creating in our minds things, if I understood correctly, with faith, and it's real.
Intelligence is the glory of God, so it resonates. You first have to have the idea before you do the action, and if you want to do it aware, you have to have commandments to know and prophets to tell us what God wants us. But he wants not, it's not good that I command you in everything. So he wants us to be understanding and to know why we do things. But it still has to resonate. And that's so great about this insight in how creation works. It's unbelievable.
It's true. And I think that's what Moses is trying to convey. He says, I learned some things. I learned the elements are subject. Any other comments? Jeannie, do you have a comment?
Sealed book coming now at this time, there's a purpose for it. Many references throughout scriptures have alluded to it, but nobody seems to have picked up on it. I mean, we talk to people now and they say, oh, that's not scripture. That's nothing. Like their minds are closed, but it's given to us at this time. And I ask myself often why, and it's a scary thought that we are being schooled to be strong, to lead the others who will not have as much time to learn from this book. And that we're a church without walls, we're everywhere. So those of you learning about this in other areas of the world, we're being called to pull everybody together. And right now we're in the learning period, and the Lord is going to call us again. And then he's going to tell us the time. And that's when we have to know how these elements work, how the intelligence work, how we can call upon the Lord as the Redeemer or the general, army general, or the judge, that we're going to need the angels to come and bring all that power. And we are going to lead many to come to either Jerusalem or America when we're told to do that. And I think that's why the book came to us now.
Thank you, Jeannie. Any other comments? So if I understood you correctly, you said the reason this book came out is because we're going to need it. We're going to need to know what's in it. And we're going to need to learn the principles and not just act, but rather really act, so to speak. Moses, if I understand correctly, needed help. He didn't just come out of the box perfect. And guess what? You know, there's a line upon line precept here where you're just doing your best and hey, tomorrow I'll be better. You know, I'm going to learn. Any other thoughts? And I think we can probably conclude our meeting. I want to thank everybody here for being here. Any other thoughts? So for the list of prayers that I...
Stop our recording.
Oh, might as well stop the recording. We'll have a closing prayer soon.